Hey, this is Johnny Wilkins calling in and calling in. Yeah, of course I'm calling in. It is the Showgram podcast, and it's Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. You can jump in the chat room. We hope this is working. I believe we are. Yep, we're always an adventure with the podcast studio Showgram communications equipment. And we are dialing in from a different studio setting, so we'll just have to see how she goes. But you can jump in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Johnny Wilkins, and you are listening to the Fishing School Radio Showgram podcast. So we'll have to check back and check the meters and tap the mic to see that we're hot here. Of course, tonight's episode is going to be talking about how to catch more carp. And for many people, you say more carp. I've never caught a carp. So if you're tuning in and you're wondering, hey, what's this carp thing about? Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot of exciting fishing to be had going for carp. So if you've never done it and you're interested, this is the right place for you. So stay tuned to the program podcast, and we'll give you introductory tips and tricks and some gear and tackle so that you can hook up with one of the world's most powerful fish and one of the world's top fish. It's a very challenging fish to catch, and for many people, they just haven't hooked up. But once you're hooked up, you're in. Trust me. It's a very powerful fish that can tear line off reels, snap lines, break hooks, and it's a many people say it's much more powerful than many of the fish that we catch or we go for when we go fishing. So if you want to hook up on a super powerful fish, then stay tuned for some more of the podcast and get some tips on catching these fish in lakes around you all over the country. So why not? Hey, you, if you have access to 6 to 15-pound fish on a regular basis, then maybe this isn't the show for you. But if you're somebody who wants a challenge and wants to reel in big and powerful fish, these guys are lurking in your backyards. These guys are everywhere, all over the country. They're out there, and they're waiting for your hook bait. So if you play your cards right, you're in for a good time. You'll hook up and hear that line scream. You hold on for dear life, because this is the Carp Show. Be right back.
I did study with Dr. Errol von Stroessenberger, Bacon.
Who?
Oh, you don't know him? Oh, he's like one of the leading leaders in unusual methods. Actually, he's how I was appointed to the Presidential Council for Experimental Education.
The lines there.
I would like to tell you about what we've been doing in here, but there's such a thing as teacher-student confidentiality, and I don't want to be in breach of education law because I could be dismembered by the teachers' union.
Let's do get out there and melt some faces. So, more to the point, put some hooks in faces. Welcome to the fishing school. As always, we're broadcasting live. Switched up, bumped it back a little bit. Just dropped the speed on the trolling motor back to 9 o'clock tonight. It's usually live on Wednesday nights. And tune in, call in. You can drop an email message if that's not your thing. If you don't want to get on the air, understandable. You can always email your questions to radio@chicagofishingschool.com. That is the fishing school. Chicagofishingschool.com. You can check out latest information, get some fishing tips. You can see some fishing news there. We'll have a little bit of fishing news later. I'll talk about maybe one of the first states to might be leaning towards blocking off some passages to block the Asian carp from migrating up into their waters. So let's see, our fishing news. We'll be talking about an epic 920-pound battle with a massive, massive tuna. And that's about it. Oh. And I guess there's a new club for fishermen who hook themselves. So that's it later in fishing news. You can join us on blogtalkradio.com. You can jump in the chat room there. And again, the call-in number is 347-994-3267. And you can call into the show, unless you're dope. Like a couple months back, we had a couple dopes call into the show, Grant. So, but this is a fishing show where we're trying to get people to catch more fish. So. That's what it's all about. So any question is not a dumb question, as long as it's not a dummy. But tonight's show, we'll be talking about catching carp. And why is the carp such a powerful, powerful fish? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they spend a lot of their time in the water inverted, and they work really hard for each meal. So they might be the hardest working fish in the fishing business, in that they spend a lot of time sorting through materials on the bottom of the lake and rooting around at the edges of weed beds and on flats where insects might lay their larvae. So contrary to popular belief is that they're not what people call garbage fish. We had that news story a couple weeks ago. In fact, they have a real specific diet and they eat real fine items and small insects. So what makes them such a challenge to catch is the fact that the carp sorts through the materials on the bottom, and they push this other stuff out of the way. And at the silt of the soil on the bottom of fruits, weed beds, etc., to find these little insects. So they have a great sense of taste and scent. They're able to find these scents and get a little bit of a trail where the insects might be, or towards beds of insect larvae. Let's say bloodworms, etc., and they'll look for mayfly larvae, they'll look for dragonfly larvae, and any type of other aquatic insect that might living in the soil or hatching. When there's a hatch, you will find the carp feeding at the level where the food is. So if the hatch is up, the food matter and the insects are rising up to the surface, you will absolutely 100% see, unless you're moving around and you're causing a commotion on the bank, if you're still and you get down low, you can watch carp feed on the surface and take a small fly. We reported about at school just for carp. It's a massive challenge because they're super shy. They're a lot shy out or a walleye or a bass. Bass are uber aggressive. They will attack and go at things, and they think they are the top animal in the water. And so they're much less shy than, let's say, a carp. Carp seeing any motion on the bank, and usually they're done feeding, and that's it. So you have to stay real low, keep a low profile, don't make any noise, etc. And you have to really hooking up on some carp, you're going to have to follow a few of these tips. There's your tip number one. You got to stay low, keep a low profile. If you have camouflage clothes, bring it on. Okay? You can't get away with the phosphorus yellow glow of a bass outfit when you're stalking a carp. You cannot have that much contrast and that much flash on the bank. So if you're wearing even a bright white shirt against the background on the bank, the odds of you catching a carp are pretty slim. Okay? Now, there are exceptions to that, but in general, if you want to improve your catch, you'll need to blend. So if you've got a gray background, rocks, go with gray outfit, gray shirt, etc. Stay low. You can prepare a little seed or something. Keep low when you're set up. And don't make sudden movements, yelling. In order to lock onto these fish, you're going to have to behave on the shore. So if you are properly camouflaged, you just increase your chances that much more. So there's your first tip is dress for success, and you will have a chance to catch carp. Second tip, a lot of people, and we do it all the time on the showgram, a lot of people think big fish, they need big hooks. So the first thing that people do when they're after a big 10-pound carp, well, you think you need a big giant hook? That's actually false. You need a much smaller hook. One of the things that makes them very difficult to catch is that they sort through the food, as I stated. So if you have a big hook, that represents non-food matter, and that represents something that they will sort past very quickly. They will eject your hook and take the bait right off that hook and spit it out clean. A couple of years back, I was participating in a carp tournament, all-weekend carp tournament, and the locals had fed so much corn into the lake that these carp were just kind of like full of corn. They were sick of it. So the corn on my hook was actually spit out, and the husk of the corn was still on the hook. So there I sat watching a couple bites develop, and the bite would stop. I'd bring it in. They had taken the center of the corn out of the hook. So they are experts at sorting their food. So for that reason, you're going to need to stay in the smaller hook range for most setups. There's one carp setup that I'll talk about later in the showgram. That's called the method feeder. In the method feeder, you can catch them on what's called the ejection. So you can go with a larger hook in the method feeder setup. Okay, but if you're fishing the top method for catching carp, then you're fishing with a stealthy hook, which should be no larger than a single kernel of corn. So that type of hook, most manufacturers would be a size 12 hook would probably be ideal. Some manufacturers make their size 12 a little bigger, so you might have to go to a size 14 in certain hooks. There's a great hook, and there's a good carp resource for those of you looking to maybe expand your carp catching. And you can also use this gear for channel catfish and for walleye. The hook sizes and equipment are pretty similar. So you can pick out most of the time a size 10, 12, and 14 hook and be pretty safe if you got that range, and those are pretty good to use. Now, the problem with carp is they're so strong and powerful and fast that they might tear open your hook. And what I mean is they're so powerful that once you members run, they can actually bend your hook straight off. So when we go with a size 10, 12 hook, there's a vamp there. And you need to have have your line balanced with that hook thickness and the power of that hook. So you will need to watch out and not have too thick of a line. Now, personally, I don't fight the fish with the drag. So my hooks tend to go on the light side, and my main line will be light, but it can be a little stronger than the hook might bear. So, for instance, if I had a 4-pound line, but yet I had a number 14 hook or a size 14 hook, which is a pretty light wire hook, the 4-pound line is so strong that the wire on the hook is going to bend itself out. It's going to bend itself straight, and the fish will get off. So it happened to me last Saturday. I had a couple things going during a class, and the fish did, in fact, bend the hook straight before breaking the line. And it'll be a lot before breaking the line. So you want to kind of balance your tackle, balance your fishing line. So a good hook to start with is called a mosquito hook, and that's by Owner. So that's a great hook. I use it for a lot of different species of fish. So you'll use a size 12 mosquito hook, size 14 mosquito hook to start out. And you can catch carp up into the 8-pound range with that hook before you run into problems where you're going to start bending the hook out. But these are powerful fish. You guys have been fishing where you've bent the hook out. So it's a good problem to have. And first, though, we want to hook up. And if your hook is too heavy, the physics of you getting a hook up with a carp are pretty limiting in that they're so good at sorting their food. And when they come across that heavy hook, as we talk about the vacuum of a fish, well, when they come across it and they try and vacuum it out of the bottom, if your hook is too thick, you just limited the number of pickups that you'll have by the fish. And in a carp, that's death. I mean, that is why most people have not hooked up on a carp across the United States, across North America. And that's the fact that they can go right over the top of your hook. And if you have an average hook or a thick wire hook, they're going to just leave it right there and they'll go right past it. So if they're ravenous hungry, they might sit and vacuum a little harder and try and pick that hook up. But odds are, they're just going to go right over it. And that's been proven out several times, side by side, hook not getting picked up for the fish. There was a term about all the time when I demonstrate the type of fishing that I'm talking about with the light wire hooks and with a nice bite indicator that'll show even a subtle pickup. And in this fishing competition, right next door to the one guy who was using a size 14 hook and a light little bite, light small bobber, right next to him was a guy that was using thick braid line, 15-pound braid line, and size 8 hook, and he was using the method that we'll talk about later, which is the feeder method, and that's a big fish method. So the big fish method versus the small finesse light method, which is built for the subtle feeding of the carp. And so right side by side, I saw this play out, and I got to watch the majority of it. So in 4 hours, the guy with the heavy setup, he did manage to hook up with one of the biggest fish of the day. So he hooked up with a 17-pound fish. Now, if you are in front of a computer screen right now, take a look at that computer screen. That's about the size and the girth of the fish that we're talking when we're talking a 17-pound fish. So if you can kind of like picture yourself wrapping your arm around that computer screen, now you got a size for the carp, the feel for the power and the size of the fish. So a very powerful fish that's able to strip out lots of line, and that's what we're talking about, big gear. It's a fish that demands big gear. Big hook? Not necessarily. He wouldn't need the big hook to land it. He could have landed that 17-pound fish with a much smaller hook. He would just have to allow the fish to run and then take up line. It would take some more time in order to land the fish, but odds are he would have caught more fish with the lighter hook. I'm talking about the big guy, the big fish setup. So if you go the traditional big fish, I need big fish, I need powerful line, I need big hook, chances are you're going to sit there and your big fish might not come in. It might not ever come in. You might sit there and go home. So right next door to him, You had the one fish, which was over 17 pounds, very large fish. Right next door to him, we had the finesse set up, the smallest indicator you could throw out there, fished 40 foot out on a pole with no reel. That's a competition pole, though. I'm sure nobody in the audience has that type of pole. But if you get into it, you might. So the guy to his left had quite a workout because he hooked up with 42 fish in 4 hours, and his total weight was in the 112-pound range. For 4 hours of fishing, 112 pounds of fish. Much lighter hook. It took him a lot longer to get each fish in. But because he had the lighter presentation, he was able to hook up on a great number of fish. So very few fish going over his setup and not picking it up. And so if you use that analogy in all of your fishing, when you go out there, if you try to follow the Shogram tips and tricks and that, if you downsize your hook, you're going to open yourself up to have many more pickups than your neighbor and the people around you and that you used to have, you know, before you tuned in. So there's another tip for you. You want many fish and you want to crack at big fish. The small hook is the way to go. I think I've talked about how to fight fish on the lighter gear on the Shogram, and there's a switch. If you look at most people, if you use an open face spinning reel, this is the greatest advantage to having an open face versus a closed face. The closed face has the button on the rear, and I think most listeners would be using an open face reel. And that is going to have a feature that the closed face push button reel won't. On the bottom, you'll notice a switch, and that switch is the anti-reverse button. So what happens is if I'm casting out and I'm casting a float setup, I will have the switch in its normal position, which means I can't reel backwards. Okay? So that's the regular. You can only reel one way. You can crank, 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 and in comes the line. But here's the thing. When I hook a fish, I'll leave it on that setting. I'll hook the fish, and then I'll use my rod tip to absorb the run, and I'll use the entire length of the rod as a shock absorber. So what I'm doing is I'm preventing my smaller hook from being bent out straight. So when that fish makes its first run, when I feel like, I call it the uh-oh switch. You hit the uh-oh switch, you hit the reverse switch, and you hit it into backup mode, and then I will simply just keep the same pressure on the fish, keep the rod tip bent, and I'll reel back at the fish. It's magic. Now, the first time you're going to try it, it's pretty awkward, but you want to keep the same pressure and keep the rod tip away from whichever direction the fish is going in, and then you want steady upward pressure to tire that fish out, okay? The upward pressure is going to tire out the fish 4 to 5 times greater and faster than if you just hang on for dear life and just hold your rod and try and fight them horizontally. So, okay, so I got more of the carp fishing rig, float fishing rig, and some tips for you on that and some baits that you can prepare. Also, did you know you can get the fish excited with just a can of breadcrumbs? That's right. And I'm going to talk about one bait company that's been around for 125 years. I think I mentioned them on the Shogram. But some phenomenal baits, and I talked about them in the world record attempt. These baits attracted so many big fish that I'm super stoked and excited. I'm teaching some carp fishing classes this weekend, so I plan on using these baits and attracting some monster fish. So we'll talk about those in a minute or two. We'll talk about attracting the carp. We'll talk about some baits and setups and rigs for float fishing. And then I'll also talk about the method feeder and some great baits for catching fish. So stay tuned. I'll be right back in a short bit.
Hey, this is Johnny Wilkins, and I'm going to tell you about a great fishing website where you can get the same tackle that I use when I'm out on the water. That's livebaitfishingtackle.com. Talk about great stuff. This stuff is field tested and proven. No junk, only fish catching tackle. So find the latest, the 2013 selection of float fishing accessories, tools, and equipment that'll help you catch a ton of fish, including the float that's caught me 203 fish in 30 minutes. That's right. If you're not catching fish, you got to switch. Switch to livebaitfishingtackle.com. Try some new floats. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, and I'll send you a diagram or help you out as much as I can on the showgram. So use the stuff that I talk about on the show and improve your fishing. Livebaitfishingtackle.com. And hey, the prices are great. Why? They catch a ton of fish. Check it out.
It's not always easy being a dad.
When's the fairy princess coming?
Any minute now.
What? What do you mean she's not coming?
But it's always worth it.
It's fairy princess!
It's divine!
Groove! Zinkelpan!
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
I know it's really you, Drew. I'm just pretending for the other kids.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4-DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Unmute. There we go. Thank you. Got to get the communication with the studio showgram going. Yeah, big fish will sabotage your gear pretty quickly. The one thing I do want to warn you about is these fish are so powerful that they will literally tear your gear off your boat, off your dock, and off the shore if you're not careful. The one thing about carp fishing is that they're so subtle and stuff. They don't give you too many indications that they're there. One of the cool things is that sometimes you can see some bubbles as they approach and as they begin to actively feed in that. Sometimes you get signs, but then other times, and I've seen it happen, the person is not watching their rod and they'll kind of get lulled to sleep because they're not having any action. And then next thing you know, the line stretches out tight. And before they can kind of take a step towards the rod, the line tightens up and it's like a boomerang, out goes the rod into the water. So you got to be careful. The carp will absolutely sabotage you and you'll be out a rod and reel unless you're planning to go for a swim and try and get it back from the bottom of the lake, river, or stream where you're at. And I don't advocate that. So odds are your rod's going for a good drag. Super powerful fish. One of the fastest bursts. Initial burst, once they're hooked and they become in flea mode, they have a magnificent burst. So 50 yards run is nothing. So I've seen 100, 150 yard runs out of these fish. And just during the world record challenge alone, there were a couple fish that just, they ripped me off so fast. I think it was about, you know, under 3/4 of a second and they'd torn my gear right off. So got to be careful and pay attention when you are using gear. Now, there is a great reel. I'm pretty sure they have them. I'll give you the name of a great carp fishing site. One of our showgram sponsors is, of course, the Lee's Bait and Tackle. So you can call them if you're in the Illinois area or if you're out of state. You can call Lee's Bait and Tackle. I should grab you a number. But they have a special reel that allows you to set a rear drag, and that's called a runner, a bait runner reel. So you can ask for an Akuma. That is not the site. It's an Akuma bait runner reel, and the phone number you'd call if you're interested in carp tackle is 847-593-6424. Or you can go to leesglobaltackle.com. And they don't have a real like online store, but you can tell them you're interested in the carp fishing tackle. And you can also tell them that the Shogram or the fishing school sent you, and usually listeners will receive a 10% discount on your order. So check that out. And they're used to shipping tackle all over the country. If you're a bass fisherman and you're into some limited edition, import tackle, this is also a great place to visit. They have a lot of Japanese bass baits, etc. So that's leesglobaltackle.com. And so what you'd be asking for is, say, a bait runner reel. So if you're really going to get into this and you're interested in catching big fish, the good news is the equipment is not super expensive. All you would need would be a bait runner reel. They come in size like 300 and 400. As the number gets bigger, the spool gets bigger. So usually you'd be good with a 300 series size reel, or a 400 is very big. That can cast over 100 yards, 150 yards with the equipment that we'd be throwing. So I recommend a 300 Akuma bait runner. And then there's also a great telescopic rod if they have it in stock, or they have a Daiwa carp fishing rod. So ask if you prefer a telescopic. They're kind of handy. They you can put them in your trunk easily. The other one is there's a Daiwa carp fishing rod that's fantastic. And these are both $70 and under. So pretty economical to get into some big fish stocking right near you. You can catch some big fish with not too much money. Outside of that, the gear is very cost effective. The method feeder cages, which you can also purchase through Lee's, just say you need some method feeders. You'd take a swivel, a method feeder, and a short leader, a leader line and a hook, and you're fishing. You're up and running for the carp. So that's the method feeder tackle that you would need. A bait runner, a nice sturdy carp or catfish rod, which either the Daiwa or there's what's called a telescopic whacker baits rod. Those are fantastic. And that's it. You'd be into carp fishing for under $135. You got a nice outfit as opposed to some of the bass gear, which is very expensive. So back to our finesse method. The finesse method we'd fish would be a small float under a gram, so a 0.75 gram or a 1 gram float. You can find them on our sister site, the livebaitfishingtackle.com. You can find some small floats there. The Gape and float's a good one. Gape and pencil float in the, I believe it's the 3-inch, the smaller one. So what you would do with this would be to set it up on some 4-pound main line. And as we always say, 3-pound leader. This is a fantastic finesse carp fishing outfit. So you'd rig that up and you balance your float. Now with carp, it's especially essential that you get your float nearly shot it down so that it's nearly sinking. There's also a method where you actually put in just enough shot to sink the float. Now, what that's called is called a float ledgering method. And you would put on multiple split shot so that it's just balancing that float like it's barely staying afloat. And in fact, it might even be just slightly sinking. So what you would do is adjust one of those split shot down near the above the hook leader, and you'd adjust that split shot so it rests flush on the bottom, okay? And that what you're going to do is set up a situation where if you have a short, like 4 to 6 inch leader, the split shot will rest directly on the bottom, and you'll put that 4 to 6 inches of line on the bottom, and your float will be at exact depth. So when the fish picks up either your red worm or your corn, kernel of corn, and remember your hook is so small that you can barely see it if you're using a kernel of corn, or if you're using the red worm, it would be almost hidden. You'd have to work to see it, okay? Then the fish will not detect that either. And so when the fish grabs the food, it doesn't detect your hook because it's smaller and lighter. This is the finesse method. And that allows you, the angler, a couple of seconds to take a look at that float and set the hook, okay? If your hook's too big, the fish is going to spit it out. It might not come back. It might try and take another shot at it, but take the bait and spit that hook out, or it determines that that's not food because it's crunchy and hard. So they move on. Okay? So if you go super stealthy, you get X number of more chances and X number of seconds more time to react to the fish. Okay? So that's part of the secret of the methods that I advocate on the show grant. Go stealthy, be a ninja, and go in there undetected, and then you as an angler have an easy time of it. You get much more time to set your hook and do your business. Now, when you set your hook, just get ready for battle, because 4-pound line is nothing to a 2 or 3-pound carp. It'll tear you up. So be prepared. Once you go to set that hook, which is only a bump, okay, maybe a 2 to 3-inch little bump with the rod tip, that hook is set. The fish is going to react. It's going to start to pull. And you have very little time before what you'll witness is one of the fastest shreddings of line that you've ever experienced as an angler. So the true beauty of carp fishing is that it's such a subtle bite that it picks up the bait in such a subtle fashion. It can also eject that bait. And so what you'll see is what we call a bite developing. So for all my first-time carp anglers out there, and for anybody who's carp fished a lot, one of the secrets of being a great carp angler, and sometimes that's a very difficult thing, is to let the bite develop. Do not strike until that float glides to the left or glides underwater, or it pops up out of the water. With the float ledgering method, placing the one shot on the bottom, when the fish takes it, sometimes it will lift that shot up the bottom. When it lifts the hook and the food, when it lifts its head up, that shot will rise up and your float will rise up. And that is the time to strike. That's a full pickup, and usually that's a good thing. That means that fish is going to taste that food and you get a couple seconds with the hook in its mouth. Now, if you find yourself setting the hook and you set your hook into air or nothing or water, then that means you're not letting the bite develop. So one of the times I taught this to somebody who was fishing for carp for the first time, they kept telling me how they're getting bites, but no, they weren't getting hookups. So I told them, just wait. You're just doing it too fast. And I got them to catch their first fish. So very exciting to do that. But so if you're not catching fish and you're getting bites, you're losing bait, let the bite develop a bit. And there's a bite right there. And once it develops, then you'll have another problem in your hands, and that is a berserker for the opposite end of the shoreline. So you'll have to get used to flipping over onto that, using the ultralight method. You'll have to get used to back reeling or playing the fish on the drag. That's not my favorite thing, but maybe you'll be more comfortable with it. Set your drag so that you're not bending your hook out straight. So that might take some practice, but remember, it's a good thing if you're breaking some leaders, if you're losing some fish, if you're bending some hooks out. That's a good thing. That's a start. That's where we start as an angler, when you kind of move to that next step, okay? You can worry about landing the fish as a second step. Now, the one thing you might need if you're going with the finesse method is a really nice landing net. With the lighter leader, with the smaller hook, you're not going to be able to lift that fish out of the water. So you're going to need something like, there's a Frable Stow-and-Go net. Let me look it up so I got the right name for you. But I believe it's called a Frable Stow-and-Go net. Handle and it stores it. It's pretty cool. So costs some money, but it is worth it. We are going for some larger fish, and so you might find that in your local waters, very close to your house. The coolest part about carp is it's the perfect show grand fish, because you don't have to drive 2 hours to get to good carp waters. Odds are most of you have great carp waters very close to home. So you're going to start running into these big monster fish, literally monster fish. So 3-pound or 4-pound carp is going to be a nice, nice battle. It's going to be painful. And finally, spend the time. Okay? So we talked a little bit about attractants. So once you have your finesse method, what you would do is use some corn. You'd use a small can of corn, like the 10-ounce, 12-ounce can of corn, and you'd pitch in a tablespoon of corn at a time over your float. So you don't want to be fishing too far from shore. If I've got you fishing on a 1-gram float or that gaping 3-inch pencil float, you're not going to be fishing very far anyways. But what you might consider is casting out and reeling in a little bit. So we're only fishing like 20, 30 feet away from us, and this will improve your carp catch right off the bat. I'm not going to have you cast 50 feet, and we'll get to our next section of tips, and that is attracting fish and getting more fish to bite. So we want to keep it in kind of close. If you got a weed line, you want to fish on the outside of the weed line. So you might be in 4 to 6 feet of water, and you're going to take some of this corn, like a tablespoon of the corn, and you're just going to pitch it over the top of your float. Okay? Mark something on the far bank that you can cast at all day long. 20 feet out, in line with something on the far bank. And we're just going to pitch a tablespoon of corn over it. Not that much corn. Some people spray it all over the bay. I don't advocate that. Don't do that. I've seen that. I saw a lady at the fishing derby last Saturday take a whole can of corn, and she spread it over a 25-foot area. Well, she pretty much doomed her kid to catching nothing because that would spread the fish over a 25-foot area. What I say you do is take that tablespoon of corn, put it in one spot, okay? I would like you in a 1-foot area if you can get accurate with it, but a little bit of practice, it's okay to be a little sloppy, but with a tablespoon, you're not going to do much damage. If you fire the whole can of corn out there in one shot and you make a sloppy mess, you're pretty much done fishing. So keep it small, tablespoon at a time, and pitch one out. Get a little practice, pitch a second one out. Beware the wind. The wind will knock some corn down or it'll carry it a lot further. So play the wind. Golfers, you have the advantage there, but play the wind and try and keep putting little tiny parts of little tiny particles of corn falling right next to your hook bait, and the carp will find it. You'll actually help them find it faster with those falling bits. They'll hone in on it. If you want to go to the next level, you can use bait attractants. There's many bait attractants on the market for carp, and I got to get the spelling of this right, but it's called Marukyu. Okay? So I'll look this up for you guys so that you have it. But it's not really sold. It's just coming to the United States for distribution. I'll get it. Marukyu. There we go. Marukyu. M-A-K-Y-U. Ingredients that these guys for 100 years, and it's just fantastic, pure, natural ingredients. So within this bait, you're not going to have a bunch of fillers, a bunch of flavors, etc., that aren't natural, and their power in attractant is amazing compared to the super fake stuff where they just try and juice it up with a bunch of flavors that might smell good to you but aren't natural. And they're also a lot healthier for the fish. So Marukyu baits. So look for those. I will try and bring these online to listeners and make them available. And I'll update you as we get these in stores and you can pick them up. They're really cool because they're single use. So when I say single use, if you're new to carp fishing, you can actually use straight breadcrumbs, not as good as the Marukyu baits. Trust me on this one. Marukyu baits have different elements to make what's called a live attractant. So you'll have, when you put it into the water, you'll actually moisten it on shore so that you can roll it into a little, a dime-sized or quarter-sized ball, and you could actually pitch those out onto your float the same way with some corn. So a little bit of corn, a couple balls of atrakhan, the marukyu, and next thing you know, you're going to have fish battling for these food elements all in one little tiny spot. One of the logos from the showgram is based on this type of attractant. So in the finesse method, you can actually get your spot hopping and popping. You can get fish competing over picking up your hook, and you'll get bites faster and faster and faster. And soon, like, you can actually see the water kind of boiling. You'll see activity around your float. Your float will be moving around. And bottom line, you're catching some powerful fish. So the marukyu bait is cool because it comes in a pouch, and the pouch is a single use for one-time fishing. So the cool part is you're going to mix one part of water to two parts bait. So if you have a single-use pouch, you simply fill it up half the bag with water, mix it up in a small bowl, and boom, you're fishing. So it's really nice. I will get you more information on these. So that is the attractant. But if you're going to do this with breadcrumb, you'd get a small mixing bowl, and you would drop the breadcrumb in there and add a little bit of lake water in the bowl, mix, 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 a little bit of lake water, mix, 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 until it's moist, not wet, okay? There should be no water in the bowl. There should be no dripping in that. It should just be moist, and it'll pack down into a ball that you can use in the size of a quarter or a dime. And you'll fire that over your fishing spot, and you will be able to nail big, powerful monster fish. So take a quick little drink break, come back, and we're going to talk method feeder. In fact, I've chatted so long about the carp. I'm so excited to get out carp fishing this weekend. I want to pass it on to you, but I don't think we're going to have time for too much fishing news. So give me 1 second. I'll be right back. Get some water. And more carp fishing tips.
All right. Yeah. Well.
It's not always easy being a dad.
Any minute now. What? What do you mean she's not coming?
But it's always worth it.
It's very
precious.
It's fine. Zinkle bells.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
I know it's really you, Drew. I'm just pretending for the other kids.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4-DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yeah, work a man. You won't have to work too hard. Spend your time on the water. If you're brand new at this, I know there's a certain sense of mystery, et cetera, but that's the beauty of it. So in some of these lakes, the best way to tell a carp lake is that the water is kind of like stirred and cloudy. On some lakes, if it's crystal clear, there's a chance there might not be any. So I'll give you this word of caution. You know, you want to fish in a kind of a more murky lake or a muddy lake. You're almost guaranteed there's carp in those. Perfect habitat is where they have a lot of mud to hunt for their insects, etc. Okay, so we talked about the finesse rig, and you would fish that on, like, let's say 8 foot. I want my listeners, if you're not fishing an 8 foot or above rod, you're missing out on a world of fishing easiness. So open face reel. You can use any old spinning reel. I recommend a larger open face spinning reel. No micro reels, not on this show, Graham. And if you do have a micro reel, good luck. The carp will burn it out. So go ahead and fish for some carp with your micro reels. And I will get your feedback as to how much smoke came off of those. So very hard to battle these lightning fast fish with a little tiny toy reel, but go for it. Try it out. And but if you have a larger open face reel, perfect. 8-foot rod, 9-foot rod, perfect. Okay. If you want. Very well, rod to the fish out. That is ideal. Casting into the wind, sit on your rod. Okay? You're welcome to take a 4-foot rod out there, take any type of reel, etc. Fish for them. Okay? One way to save your rod is to open up the drag a bit. When I'm sitting on the shore, when the car takes off, you can then cut down the drag and fight that fish with regular gear. Okay, so I'll close the show with the method feeder. You would use some of the same attractants that you've been talking about, either Maruku or straight breadcrumbs, and you would put that in. And the method feeder, what it does is it's going to actually store all your bait that we talked about, the particle baits, which would be corn, and you would put them in this little cage, and that's called the method feeder. Some method feeders are open, some are closed, little closed round cages. And you would stuff the corn into the method feeder, and on the outside of it, in the back, to close the holes and plug it up, you would create a big ball of attractant. So inside the good stuff, and then a ball of attractant. And then from this, to rig it up, before you get to the baiting part, you rig it up. You simply put a swivel attachment, snap swivel, or just a ball bearing swivel. Then tie on the ball swivel or snap swivel. And then you tie off your 8-inch leader. Okay? So in the method feeder, in the method, it's different from the max. The method, you use a stronger main line. You might be throwing an 8-pound main line or a 10-pound main line is okay. And then go with a slightly thinner leader or the same thickness of leader. Or 10 pounds. I know I always advocate that you use a very light and stealthy leader, but in this instance, you actually catch the fish when he attacks the bait in some cases with the method rig. So the leader is connected to cause that fish to eject the bait and hook himself. It's the hook, it's the bait that it can actually hook itself. So remember, that's the swivel and 8-inch leader with your hook. On that hook, you would place your corn or your worm, red worm. I always put one. Chocolate. You could leech and you could swim around. But the leech, this is on a heavier rod. Okay, so think catfish rod or think medium to medium heavy rod, because the reason you need it is because when you pack up this method feeder with all the breadcrumb, all the particle bait, etc., and you go to cast, when you go to cast that out, that's a lot of weight on your rod. So you can't do this on an ultralight rod. There's nothing finesse about that. It's big and clunky. Now, the downside of fishing the method rig is that you're not going to get half as many pickups as you will on the float finesse rig. The other difference is that you have a lot less control with this method. So this, the method rig is one that you would use the Akuma bait runner. There's also a Daiwa. Daiwa makes two lines of bait runner reel. So if you're a Daiwa fan, you can ask Lee's. Again, that's Lee's Global Bait and Tackle. You can ask them for the Daiwa. There's two sets of Daiwa bait runner reels. So if you picture this, you got this big cage baited up, and it's basically a big breadcrumb ball. It looks like a hush puppy, and it's heavy, though. And you're going to kind of rear back and fire this thing out at the lake. Again, pick something on the far bank, that you're going to aim at, and you're going to deliver this method feeder out to the lake in the same spot all day. So if in 15 or 20 minutes you don't have a fish, you're going to reel it, crank this back in, you're going to bait it back up, you're going to fire it back out, and with your target across from the far bank, deliver it to the same spot. So what you can do is actually, you know, 100 yards away. I'm not joking. I've seen this delivered in the harbors of Chicago. It's just about 125 yards across the harbor. And I've seen a guy cast this accurately 6 foot away from a pier edge. So you would do the same thing, not at 100 yards. That's kind of pro tour. But you'd use the two rods that I talked about or a medium heavy rod, and you deliver this. If you don't have the specialty carp gear, you could fish the method, feeder method, but you just wouldn't deliver as large a ball of attractant and bait, and you would fish it much closer to shore. Or you could modify it. You could tight line and straight line and feed by hand, like in the finesse method, and then fish just a straight line with a bell weight until you got some of the bigger gear. So that's one way you can do it, is just deliver your attractant by hand, deliver the cordon by hand, cast in, tighten up your line, and drag that the bait up into the spot. So you'd be fishing like a pseudo method feeder. That's actually called a bolt rig, and it gets its name from when the fish picks up the hook, and it might spit out the hook can catch in the soft lip of that carp. And as soon as it feels that in its lip, it tries to spit it, but it doesn't. And hopefully your line is tight. And at this point, the fish bolts. So that is the method rig or bolt rig. And very effective. But again, I caution you. These fish are powerful. You have been warned. We had the suspenseful music on, right? You will lose line, lose hooks. And you could even... You could lose your rod.
Yes.
We'll end the show, Graham, on the suspenseful. You could lose your rod. So unlike wimpy other fish species that I won't mention on the show, Graham, these fish will bust your stuff. They'll strip your line, and they will give you the battle of a lifetime. So if you haven't tried out carp, try them out. Email me your questions, radio@chicagofishingschool.com. I'm Johnny Wilkins. I will catch you next week. Until then, have a good time. Try it. Catch some carp. I dare you. I dare you.